Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what lies before us. A year of miracles. That which lies behind us was a year of faith. A year of coming up in the faith. Coming up in the faith. Coming up in the faith, and we've come up higher. Certainly we've come up higher in the faith. Hallelujah. We know much more than we knew just 1 year ago. We don't know all there is to know, but we know so much more. And every service was on purpose. Every time we came together, it was on purpose. Every time you were here, it was on purpose, preparing you, preparing us as a body for that which lies ahead of us. Miracles, the miraculous. Miracles over nature. Miracles over human bodies. Miracles of provision and supply. And miracles over Satan and demon powers. For that's what lies ahead of you in this coming year. That's what lies ahead in this coming year. A year of the supernatural. For we are a word church and a spirit church. Not a word only church, but a word and a spirit church. And the Spirit of God will move this year in our midst. In ways that we've longed for. In ways that we've prayed for. In ways that we've eagerly yearned for. The Spirit of God will indeed move in our midst. If only we will believe. If only we will now go from this place today and covet manifestations of God. As the Apostle Paul said, covet the gifts in operation. Have I not said, says the Spirit of God, to ask of me rain. In the times of the last days and the latter rain. Ask of me, ask of me, ask of me for the supernatural, says the Spirit of God, and I will manifest in your midst. If it's not up to me, says the Spirit of God, it's not up to me alone. You must covet. Have I not said in my word, covet, covet, covet the best gifts. Eagerly yearn and desire, and call out and pray for and believe. For the gifts to operate in your midst. Have I not said? Have I not said, ask me for the rain in the time of the latter rain. And I'll pour out abundance of glory in your midst. Have I not said, all things are possible if only you will believe. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is saying today that He's brought us to the place of faith. Brought us to the place of being able to believe for these things. Now expect. Expect. Expect the supernatural, and you will see the supernatural in your midst this year in ways that will astound you, in ways that will startle you, if only you will believe. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to know. Hallelujah. I'm stirred up. Hallelujah. I heard the Spirit of God speaking to my spirit this week. I said, Father, what do I bring? What do I bring on Sunday morning? It's our first anniversary, Father. What message do I bring for our first anniversary? And you know, you think you share the vision. You remind people of why we're here. You bring a nice faith message. Amen. You impart hope. You impart faith. Remind people why you're here and what are the things we want to do while we're here on Cape Cod. But nothing like that came to me. I didn't get any impression from the Lord about keep the vision of the church before the people. But I did hear one word. One word He kept repeating to me. What do I bring to the people for our first anniversary? You know, that one word was miracles. Miracles. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, when I heard that, I didn't say, oh God, don't embarrass me up there. I got fired up! Because when God says to teach on miracles, we can know we're going to have miracles in our midst. That's going to be the theme of the next year at the gathering. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen? When God says miracles, He's got a plan. When God says miracles, He's got a purpose. When God says miracles, He's in hot pursuit of something. Amen. I'm going where God's going. Amen. I'm never concerned that I'm going to stand up in front of you and make some sort of a commitment by the Spirit of God and God's going to leave me up here holding the bag. He's a good Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm the pastor. And He told me what to minister. And that's what we're going to minister. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to be talking about miracles today. And this next year is going to be a year of miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. Oh, I'll believe that when I see it. No, it's not how it works. You'll see it when you believe it. Amen. So I want you to hook up with me. I want you to pray with me. Believe with me for this to be a year of signs, wonders, and miracles. Supernatural occurrences in our midst. Miracles over nature. Miracles of supply. Miracles over human bodies, concerning human bodies. Amen. Believe with us for Sandy to begin to see through that eye. For it is the will of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Believe with us for Ralph to see where he has no eyeballs. It's not too big for God. It's just not too big. If you think it is your God's too small, throw him out, get another one. Try mine.
Amen.
He said there's no other God besides me. Amen. There is no other God besides our God, and he is a God of the supernatural. He's a God of the miraculous. Amen. I'm going already. Hallelujah. Because I know God's got a plan. Signs, wonders, and miracles are still for today. Amen. But we've got to watch our attitudes. We've got to watch out for unbelief. When those thoughts come to your mind, that's not going to happen. Open your mouth and rebuke them in Jesus' strong name.
Amen.
Amen. And open your mouth and tell the devil, this is a year of signs, wonders, and miracles at the gathering on Cape Cod, because God said it's a year of signs, wonders, and miracles on Cape Cod. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You got a Bible with you by any chance? Isaiah chapter 8, if you would, in your Bible. We'll start right there. Hallelujah. And you be believing God with me that by the agency of the Holy Spirit, I'm able to get across to you today the fullness that's in my heart concerning signs, wonders, and miracles and the supernatural for this church in our second year. Today is our first anniversary. Amen?
Amen.
Today we begin our second year as the gathering on Cape Cod. Amen. And the Spirit of God's going to be poured out in this place. You've got to believe it, though. Amen. Unbelief is sin. Unbelief is sin. To doubt it is to sin. We've got to believe it. You've got to believe that the pastor has heard from the Holy Ghost, and I'm going with what the pastor says as long as he leads me according to the Word. And if the pastor gets off the Word, I ain't going with him. I'm staying on the Word, and I'll pray that fool back. Now, I'm not a fool, but if I get off the Word, it would be foolish and you pray me back.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
I'm not ashamed to tell you, I'm a human being. I make mistakes. Amen? Hallelujah. So you pray for me like I pray for you, that you won't make mistakes. Amen? Amen? And if I ever get off the Word, don't follow me. Amen? Don't follow me off the Word. Pray me back. You stay on the Word. Amen? And I'll be forever indebted to you. Amen. But I don't have any plans of getting off the Word. Are you there in Isaiah chapter 8? Let's look together in verse 18. Behold, Isaiah said, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Isaiah said, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders, or miracles. Amen. Now Isaiah and his children were created for signs, wonders, and miracles in Israel. But this verse has a twofold meaning, like so many other verses in Scripture. It's called the law of double reference. Amen? God's not just referring to Isaiah and his two sons, who were birthed supernaturally into the earth, by the way. Maybe we'll talk about that sometime, but we won't this morning. Amen? This is a double reference that also refers to Christ and his disciples. Jesus' disciples, that's you, not just the 12 apostles of the Lamb. This is a reference to Christ and his disciples of all centuries, of all time. This is a reference to Christ and his body, as well as to Isaiah and his sons. And we were birthed into the earth for the supernatural to occur in our lives. Amen? Signs, wonders, and miracles. How do I know that this is also a reference to Christ and his church? Because Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, and these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. That's a sign and a wonder. If you're being persecuted in a snake pit, you don't have to be afraid. Amen. Like they were back then, they would get thrown into snake pits trying to get them to renounce their faith. And Jesus said, don't even worry about it. If you believe, those snakes won't even hurt you. If you drink any deadly thing, they'd make them drink hemlock if they wouldn't renounce their faith. Jesus said, don't worry about it. That's supernatural. That's a sign and a wonder. It will not hurt you. You shall lay hands on the sick. That's a sign right there, and they shall recover. That's it. You know what the word sign means? Signs and wonder, the word signs. It means a flag. It means a beacon. And it means a signal. A flag is something to use to draw attention to something or to someone. Signs, wonders, and miracles are flags. Beacons. Banners to draw attention to our Father. To glorify God. To confirm the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to meet the needs of His family. That's basically what miracles are all about. That's what miracles are for. Amen? Signs, wonders, and miracles will follow us. The Bible says in verse 19 of Mark chapter 16, after the Lord had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven. He sat at the right hand of God, and the disciples went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming His word with signs following. No other book in the world promises confirmation through signs, wonders, and miracles but the Bible. Amen? The disciples went forth preaching the word with signs following. It's supposed to be a usual thing, not an unusual thing, for signs to follow to accompany the preaching of God's word. It's supposed to be happening all the time. Amen? Let me just remind you, John 14:12, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, you shall do also, you shall do as well. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do as well. He that believeth on me. Not just the 12 apostles of the Lamb who walked with Jesus. He who believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do as well. The signs, wonders, and miracles that followed the apostles of the Lamb. You know what the apostles of the Lamb are? They are, Peter said in the book of Acts that the apostles of the Lamb, they're the 12 original disciples. He said in order to be an apostle of the Lamb, you had to go in and out with Jesus, go in and out or travel with Him. During the 3.5 years of His public ministry, you had to be a witness to His death and a witness to His resurrection. There are only 12 apostles of the Lamb. Amen? But there are still apostles in the earth. Amen? Still there's apostles in the earth. But you don't have to be an apostle of the Lamb or an apostle not of the Lamb to see signs, wonders, and miracles follow you through the preaching of God's word. Jesus said, these signs, these flags, these beacons, these signals, these miracles will follow those who believe. And that's why the Lord put it on my heart a year ago in coming down here. He said to me, faith, faith, bring that faith level up. And that's all we've been about for the past year. It's just developing faith. Getting faith into you. Getting faith. You had faith when we got here, but you didn't have what you have now, amen, not just because of me, it could have been anybody God sent here, amen, but you got more faith now than you had a year ago. I've got more faith now than I had a year ago, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and I made it to every service, so I heard every sermon. So did Helen, amen, hallelujah, and many others, amen, hallelujah, others in this room, amen. Faith comes by hearing. Your faith level's up there now, amen. You have more faith than you realize right now. You have more faith for miracles than you even realize. Amen? And you're about to get more faith for miracles because we're going to hang around this subject for a while. Amen? We don't believe this lie was only for the 12 disciples. If it was only for the 12 disciples, if miracle power was only for the 12 disciples, what in the world was Jesus doing in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, when He anointed and appointed 35 teams of 2 to go out and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out unclean spirits, and preach the gospel? That's 70, plus the 12, plus Jesus, that's 83. Somebody needs to tell Jesus that miracles ended with the last apostle. Because He apparently doesn't know it. Well, of course, He knows exactly what He's doing. How about the Apostle Paul? Was he one of the original 12 disciples? He said, everywhere I went, everywhere I've gone, God has borne witness with my ministry in Romans 15:19, through signs, wonders, and the power of the Holy Ghost, he said, from Jerusalem to Illyricum. Illyricum. Anybody know where Illyricum is? Amen. It's Yugoslavia. We call it now it's Yugoslavia and Albania. Now it's called Bosnia and Croatia. Is that right?
Yeah.
Paul's over there preaching with signs, wonders, and miracles. For that's number 84. He wasn't an apostle of the Lamb. And Jesus himself said, these signs will follow those who believe. I'm expecting miracles this year. Amen. To the glory of God, number one. That's the first reason God performs miracles, to glorify himself. He deserves the glory. He's a good God. Second reason is to confirm the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. Third reason is to meet the needs of his family. Amen. We are going to see signs, wonders, and miracles in this coming year if you get hook up with me and believe with me. Jesus said, we're two or more in agreement. I'll slap heaven and earth together, and I'll do whatever you believe in me for, as long as it's legal, moral, and scriptural. It's legal to believe God for Sandy to start seeing out that eye. I'm not ashamed to say so. She's not ashamed to believe it. Amen. We all need to be believing with her.
Amen.
Not wondering, is he going to do it? Wondering's not faith. Amen? Faith says, I believe. Begin to praise God that Sandy sees through that eye. Not that he's going to do it, but that he's already done it at Calvary. It became an established fact 2,000 years ago. If Ronald Coyne could see through his missing eye, Sandy can see through her half eye twice as good. Amen? We believe in God. Ralph Frazier. No eyeballs. He needs a creative miracle. He needs a creative miracle to replace those eyeballs. Said, I believe.
Amen.
Well, if he wants to believe that, we're not going to discourage him. Amen?
Amen?
The scribes and the Pharisees were in the business of robbing people of their faith. We're in the business of imparting faith and stirring up faith. Amen? And allowing God to confirm our faith through the supernatural.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I haven't even gotten through the introduction this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. It is good. Amen. You know, Moses performed 42 miracles in his life. He performed through the working of miracles. You know, there's the working of miracles, and you sat through those classes on the gifts of the Spirit, and you know that the working of miracles is when God performs miracles. I'm sorry. Let me get it straight. Is when God loans his power to a human being and the human being performs the miracle. God doesn't do it. He gives his power to a human being to perform the miracle. He did that with Moses 42 times. 42 times Moses used the power of God and performed in the supernatural. 16 times God himself performed a miracle in the presence of Moses. That's a miracle of God. He didn't use a man to do it, Moses or any other man. He just did it himself. Did you hear that? 16 times in the presence of Moses, God performed a miracle. Moses himself performed 42 miracles. Elijah performed 16 miracles. Elisha hung out with him, washed the prophet's hands, got his anointing on him, got Elijah's anointing on him, Elisha, and he performed 32 miracles. Twice as many miracles were performed by Elijah than Elisha, just from hanging out under his anointing. Amen. That anointing was transferred to him by influence, environment, and association. You see, in what's on my life, the supernatural ability to believe for miracles and to impart faith comes upon you from influence, environment, and association. What's on me comes on you from sitting underneath me. That's why you have more faith than you did a year ago. I'm not saying that for wrong reasons. Amen? I spent 26 years under Brother Hagin. I still meditate on his writings. And his anointing for faith and supernatural ability to believe and to endure came upon me by influence, environment, and association. Anointing for strength. 15 years, Dr. Sumrall was my pastor. That man had an anointing for strength to just endure and to just be strong. In the midst of the most severe opposition, came upon me. That's where it came from. Came on me. Amen. Not to mention the laying on of hands by Jim Case, who was a personal friend of Smith Wigglesworth, and he prayed that the anointing that was on Smith Wigglesworth would come upon me for boldness, and it did. And I pray there are many of you to come upon you for boldness, and it has. Amen? It takes a certain amount of boldness just to go to this church and tell people you do. It would be funny if it wasn't so pathetic. Hallelujah. Amen? Listen, we can expect signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen? By the way, there were 8 ark miracles concerning the ark of God. 8 miracles of judgment. There's 32 water miracles in the Bible. I just mentioned to you, between Moses' 42 miracles, God's 16 miracles in the presence of Moses, Elijah's 16 miracles, Elisha's 32 miracles, 8 ark miracles, 32 water miracles. I just mentioned to you over 150 miracles in the Bible. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the mediator of a better covenant, established on far better and exceedingly excellent promises. What God did for those folks in the Old Testament, He wants to do for us folks in the New Testament. They weren't even His children. They were His servants. We are His sons and daughters. Why wouldn't our Father give to us as family members what He gave and did for friends in the Old Testament? What kind of a daddy would I be if I shared with my friends but not with my family? Amen. Hallelujah. It just makes sense that God still does miracles. Amen. We have a covenant with the God of miracles, and Jesus is the mediator of that covenant. Amen. Not to mention the fact that God lives on the inside of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, I will dwell in you, I will walk in you, I'll be your God, and you'll be my family. He lives in you. The God of miracles lives in you. Walks in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Daniel was in the lion's den, remember he got thrown in the lion's den? Because he overrode King Darius' decree that nobody could pray to anybody but his dumb statue. That dumb idol that he made. Well, Daniel threw open the doors of the living room, jumped up off the sofa, and got on his face and let them all see them praying to his God. Nobody was going to tell Daniel who he could and who he could not pray to. Well, some of the other princes ratted Daniel out to King Darius. There was a rule, if you pray to any other god, you go in the lion's den. Well, Darius loved Daniel, but he had been tricked into making that law by those princes who hated Daniel because he was a Jew. And they wanted to see him go. He had too much favor with King Darius. They went and ratted him out. Said, Darius, Daniel's praying to another god. Daniel's praying to another god. And Darius said, what do I do now? I'm the king. It was my decree. Even I can't overturn it. In that day, your king couldn't even overturn his own decree. Daniel had to go into the lion's den. And Darius was like, oh, Lord in heaven. Oh, Lord in heaven, what do I do now? My favored prince, I've got to put him in there. He dropped Daniel into the lion's den. He stayed up all night. Darius did. He couldn't sleep, having done what he had just done. He just knew he was going to come back in the morning. It was just going to be a splot on the floor with a couple of lions licking it. He called down in the morning in Daniel chapter 6, and he said, oh, Daniel. Oh, Daniel, was your God able to spare you? And Daniel's laying down there between two lions. He just stretched and said, just another 5 minutes, please. Sleeping comfortable, nice and warm, between two lions. Still alive. And you know what King Darius said? He shouted out and he said, he delivereth and he rescueth. Daniel's God worketh signs and wonders and miracles in heaven and in the earth, and he hath even delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. And he made a decree from this day forward, everybody in my kingdom serves Daniel's God, or into the lion's den they go. Amen? Listen, what God did for Daniel, he wants to do for you. Daniel was his friend, you're his daughter. Daniel was his friend, you're his son. Amen? He's still the God of signs, wonders, and miracles. Our Father delivers and rescues from damnation, difficulty, addiction, compulsive human behavior, dementia, suicide, sickness, poverty, evil spirits, evil men, and people who have no faith. Our God is a delivering God. Our God is a rescuing God. Amen? Now, we're going to talk about miracles here this morning. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You know what? Let me just tell you something right here. Let me just show you. I took a whole year of my life. I told you this before. I need my glasses because I'm going to do this right. Amen? Hallelujah. Pastor, how come if you believe in faith and miracles, you wear glasses? Somebody said that to me. I had the answer. It's because of rats like you. Most pastors spend all their week developing faith to impart to their congregations, go to church twice a week, and release that faith on behalf of others, and have to go back and do the process again. That's why I wear glasses. I told that darling dumb hallelujah. I'm believing God for my eyesight. Amen? Believe in God for your eyesight. Amen? Hallelujah. We know folks who have just been delivered, just didn't have to wear glasses anymore. And I'm believing God to get to that place. And I'm not ashamed to stand up here and wear glasses and preach faith. Amen? Hallelujah. I want you to see something that I did right here. Now, this is not boastful. This is letting you know where we're going. This is syllabus number 1 of 3 from our series called Understanding Miracles of the Bible. I'm impressed I'm supposed to do this right now. I told you in the past, I took a whole year of my life. And Barbara made it possible for me to do it by going to work every day and supporting us so that I could do this. 1 year of my life I spent 40, 50, sometimes more hours a week, 6 days a week studying all the miracles of the Bible. All the miracles of the Bible. All the miracles of the Bible. That's all I did was study, pray, and preach on the miracles of the Bible for 1 solid year on Wednesdays and on Sundays. And I'm going to be taking a hard run at you through this 3-book syllabi that came out of this. This is going to be put into production. This just happens to be my study notes. This is volume 1, and this is volume 2, and this is volume 3. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to read just some of what's in here to wet your whistle so you can see what's coming. We're going to be talking about over the next year. We can't cover all of this. Amen. But we're sure going to weave on in and out of it. Amen. And we're going to develop our faith for the miraculous because that's what it's going to take to turn this cape around. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take signs, wonders, and miracles to get people in church in this area who don't want to go to church. Amen. Oh, but when they hear there's miracles happening, they'll come a-running. Miracles are the dinner bell to salvation. We're going to be talking about miracles of creation and recreation, miracles of deliverance and protection in the Old Testament. I'm telling you, I invested a whole year of my life into this, and the Holy Spirit showed me something I had never seen before, that all of the miracles of the Bible can be classified under 12 main headings. And all 12 of those main headings can be broken down into 4 primary groupings. We'll get into that some other time. But under these primary headings that the Holy, He showed it to me. And it's proved out. Amen? Miracles of deliverance and protection in the Old Testament. Miracles of deliverance and protection in the New Testament. Miracles of warning. Miracles of judgment in the past. Miracles of judgment and the local church. You can come look at these if you want to write any of these down later. And underneath each one, I'm just reading it to you, miracles of judgment in the past. And we have all the scriptural examples. For example, miracles of judgment in the past. The slaying of Egypt's firstborn. An entire army battalion is blinded. Additional Old Testament miracles of judgment. We go through almost all the miracles of the Bible. Miracles of judgment in the local church. We're in the midst of one of those right now. Those of you who were here. Amen. Miracles of judgment in the tribulation period. Miracles of judgment in the millennial reign. Miracles as credentials in the Old Testament. Miracles as credentials in the New Testament. Miracles, counterfeits, lying, signs, and wonders. Let me just give you a few more. Wet your whistle so you can see where we're going. Miracles as spiritual lessons in the Old Testament. Miracles as spiritual lessons in the New Testament. Miracles of answered prayer in the Old Testament. Miracles of answered prayer in the New Testament. Miracles in prophecy. Miracles of translation. Miracles of resurrection from the dead. There's 8 of them, by the way, in the Bible. Miracles of human birth. There were 7 people in the Bible who were birthed supernaturally. We'll look at those some morning. Amen. Miracles involving insects and animals. Miracles and the ministry of angels. I'm impressed we're going right into this. We're going from here today into angels. Miracles and angels. Miracles over Satan and demon powers. Miracles of healing. I may as well just read for you volume 3, seeing that I've gone this far, just to show you, and we're ready to go. These are just my notes. These will be available for publication soon. Amen. Miracles of provision. Miracles of confirmation in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Miracles and the ministry of Jesus. That takes up 4 whole lessons. Miracles involving apostles and prophets. Miracles in the ministry of helps. Everybody in this room is called to the ministry of helps in one way or another. And as folks start packing in here, we're going to need your help. And you are to operate in the supernatural. Helps ministers in the Bible operate in signs, wonders, and miracles.
Amen.
Amen. Miracles in the ministry of all believers. Miracles that gave us the Bible. And miracles because God loves you. We're going to take a tour of the miracles of the Bible through the next year, beginning right here today. Amen? A miracle is an event that contradicts known scientific law. It's an event that contradicts known scientific law. Amen? And if you were here for the Gifts of the Spirit series, we talked in the Working of Miracles. We told you during that series that in order for a miracle to occur, God has to override the laws of nature and move supernaturally. In order for a miracle to occur, God has to override the laws of nature and move supernaturally. You see that? Over and above nature. And He's the God of the supernatural. That is how my friend Ronald Coyne could see through an empty eye socket. Hallelujah. He moves supernaturally. I want to talk to you briefly today about miracles over nature. Amen. In Luke chapter 8, just put it in your notes, I think it's 22 through 24, when Jesus hopped into that boat with His disciples, and He said, let us go on over to the other side. I won't bother reading it, I'll just refer you to it, amen? He got in the back of the boat, and He fell asleep, and you won't read it either, because you don't want to miss what the Holy Spirit's saying up here today, building your faith for miracles, but you can put it in your notes, and you can read it when you get home. He went back to sleep, and the Bible says, if you look up the words in the Greek, it says that an earthquake occurred underneath the Sea of Galilee, and started rocking and rolling that boat and filling that boat with water, and the wind started blowing, ripping the sails off, and His disciples panicked, and they woke Him up and they said, Jesus, Jesus, we perish. And the Bible says Jesus woke up and He rebuked the wind in the sea. He said, peace, be still. And supernaturally the storm stopped. He looked at His disciples and He said, where is your faith? And when you look it up in the original language, it says, where did you leave your faith? Jesus said, where did you leave your faith? When I went to sleep, you had faith. Now you're in here waking me up as a lack of faith. He said, where'd you leave it between the time I last looked at you and the time you just woke me up? He was saying, in essence, this is what you can do. When are you going to learn this is what you can do? You should have rebuked the winds in the sea and let me get some sleep. Amen. Barbara and I were driving in the car one time. We're talking about miracles over nature. We're driving in the car in Vermont one time. And we were pulled over on the side of the road. It was at night and we had the overhead light on in the car. It was a bright light too. Very bright light. I believe Barbara's lens may have slipped. She used to wear gas permeable lenses, hard lenses. She now wears soft contact lenses that you can throw away every couple of weeks or every month, however she does it. But at that time, she wore glass lenses. They were called glass permeable. They were bigger. They were heavier. Much more easy to see. And she was doing something to fix that lens. She was driving the car. Because I had been in bed for 2 months with a tumor on the inside of my eustachian tube. And we didn't know what in the world was happening to me. We're talking about miracles over nature. But I just got to stop and talk to you. You know what? When we get up to miracles of healing, I'll tell you why I wasn't driving the car where she was. Let's stick with her lens. She's trying to fix her lens, and I'm sitting there in the passenger seat. I wasn't able to drive for 2 years after I had received the 2 weeks, thank you, after I had received the supernatural healing when that tumor came down my eustachian tube and I spit it out my mouth right into the sink. It took me 2 weeks, but I was able to walk and drive again after that, after having to lay on my right side for 2 months. I had to literally crawl to go to the bathroom on my hands and knees. I had such horrible vertigo. We'll talk about that in a minute. I'm riding. We're talking about miracles. Amen. She's trying to fix the gas permeable lens in her eye, and all of a sudden, it came flying out of her eye. Poop! Like I had seen it do so many times before. Because of the shape of her eyeball, with her eyeballs with those particular lenses, they always fell off her eye. Doesn't have nearly that problem now with these soft lenses that fit better. I watched her lens in her right eye, to my left. I was watching her, because I was always ready with those lenses when she's, like, right, ready to catch it. And I'm just sitting there watching, getting ready, in case it popped out, I was going to get it. I was going to see where it went. Well, lo and behold, like it had done so many times in the past, it just popped right out of her eye. It bounced off the palm of her hand and went down on the floor. And I thought, good grief. She just said to me, the lens just popped out of my eye. I said, I know, I saw it. It bounced off your hand. She said, yeah, I felt it hit my hand. So we were trying to estimate the trajectory of the lens after it hit her hand, where it would have been on the snow-covered floor in the middle of the winter in Vermont. So I said, okay, you know the drill, hold steady, I'll get down there on the floor. Don't you move, don't move your feet, don't move anything. I'll go down there, it's bound to be just sitting there somewhere. So I go down there and I start looking, and Barbara says, now I saw the lens fall out, fly out of her eye, bounce off the palm of her hand and go to the floor. And she said to me, it fell out of my eye. I said, I know, I saw it. It hit your hand. She said, I felt it hit my hand. Couldn't drive without it because she cannot see without her lenses. I'm getting ready to go digging around on the floor. I'm going to tell you again, I saw it pop out of her eye like I had so many times before. I'm right there with my big catcher's mitt ready to get it. It bounced off her hand, went down on the floor. She felt it hit her hand, felt it fly out of her eye. I went to go dig, and she said, John, it's back in my eye. It's back in my eye. I can see. I can see. I said, I don't doubt it. Supernaturally, that lens was placed back in her eye. And it didn't come up off the floor backwards, hit her palm, and bounce back into her eye. We didn't see it happen. But lo and behold, it was back in her right eye. Do you believe that? That's a miracle over nature. Those are the kind of things God wants to do all the time. To glorify Himself. To confirm the lordship of the one who we serve, Jesus Christ, and to meet the needs of His family. That's supernatural, people. Amen? It's a wonderful example of God moving supernaturally. Another woman, I just have to tell you, oh, there's just so many ways. This might have to go into part two next week, this message. We had a Baptist woman who was very kind, very friendly, very generous to us in Oklahoma that we had become friends with, who owned a printing shop where Barbara worked, while I was doing the groundwork for things like this. And she just didn't want to hear about the Holy Ghost and power. She's just hung up on the River Jordan. That's as far as she wanted to go. Amen? She's just hung up on a Baptist doctrine in water baptism, and that's all there was. Don't get me wrong, I believe in water baptism. Amen? I believe in water baptism. Matter of fact, when I baptize you, I want to see bubbles. That's how strongly I believe in water baptism. I'm not letting you up till I know the job's done. Amen? Well, she just didn't believe. But Barbara kept ministering faith to her. I kept ministering faith every opportunity that we had, and it just seemed like it wasn't going in. But she was so open to us. She was generous and loving and kind, even still to this day. She's an elderly woman now. You know those big storms that go through Oklahoma? You've seen them on the news. And they tear up whole tracts of houses. 40, 60 houses leveled. It looks like somebody opened a box of toothpicks and poured them from heaven. And there's just sticks all over the place. And right in this community we used to live in, right after we left Oklahoma City area, pastoring out there for 5 years. Hallelujah. We got out of there, and a storm went through there, and an F5 storm. Just, you may have seen it. It was probably one of the worst ones in the Midwest history. Tore through that area, just ripping homes up in Norman, Oklahoma, and Moore, Oklahoma, right outside of Oklahoma City. Well, hallelujah, this little Baptist woman, who it seemed like she just wasn't listening when we would share faith with her, particularly the power of Jesus' name, she went out on her porch when she heard that that F5 was coming. Just a little old woman. And she stood out on her porch and the Spirit of God came upon her. She stood on her porch as the storm came that tore up hundreds of houses all around her. She finally clicked. The Holy Ghost came upon her. She stood on her porch and she said, "In the name of Jesus, storm." This is a woman who never wanted to hear this until she was in a crisis. "In the name of Jesus, storm, you will not come near my property in Jesus' name." And that storm, lo and behold, came right up to her house, went around her house, tore up the houses all around her and all behind her, and skipped her little old house. Hers was a mobile home, no less, which would have been picked up. These storms pick cars up and drop them in the mall. She used her faith. That's a miracle over nature. Just like Barbara's gas permeable contact lens. Amen. Miracle over nature. But listen, we can see these kind of miracles, but we have to do our part and believe. We're only going to receive what we reach out for. We can't just sit back expecting God to perform miracles. Paul said, "Covet earnestly the best gifts." And the best gifts are whatever ones that you need at the moment. The one that we needed at the moment for Barbara's lens, and we didn't know it, was to work in the miracles. God overrode the laws of nature and took that lens, and we didn't even see it go back up into her eye. He just put it back in her eye somehow. I don't know if it dematerialized on the ground and rematerialized in her eye. I don't know. All we know is that lens was back, and somebody always says, "Well, maybe it didn't fall out." Well, that's just unbelief, and you just need to repent. If that's your attitude toward the supernatural, you need forgiveness for that, if that's what you feel about that. Amen? Because the Spirit of God will not move where the blood of Jesus needs to cleanse. That's sin. Unbelief is sin. Amen? And just like it worked for Jean Sisson to stand on her porch and speak to her property in Jesus' name, you'll talk to the washing machine, you piece of junk. Right? Why is that acceptable? But it's not acceptable to talk to that car and say, "You will run with perfection and I will let you know when I'm through with you in Jesus' strong name." Hallelujah. Somebody's going to have to help me get the shoe polish. Ministry of Helps! You're going to have to help me get the shoe polish off the wall. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Maurice. Amen. Listen, God wants us to experience miracles. Miracles over nature. Amen. Miracles concerning natural things. God also wants us to experience miracles of supply. And that's what's going to happen this year in this church. Miracles of supply. We paid the price. We've been faithful. We've been obedient. And we are stepping through the door now into the supernatural. The Lord said to me, "Miracles! Miracles!" He doesn't have to say but one word to me. I get the message. Amen? There's going to be miracles of supply in this church. Just like when Jesus told Peter over there in Matthew chapter 17, go down to the ocean, throw a hook in the water on a string, and the first fish that comes up, it will have a coin in its mouth, and it will be precisely what you need to pay your taxes and mine. That's a miracle of supply. But Peter had to obey him. Miracles of supply always require an act of obedience. You've got to pay tithes and offerings. We do. You do. As the church, we pay tithes and offerings. Amen? That's an act of obedience. Every miracle of supply that you see in the Bible required an act of obedience. Peter had to go down to the water and put that hook in that string in the water. While he had been around long enough with Jesus to know, I guarantee I'm going down there and something good's about to happen. That fish is going to show up and that coin's going to be in its mouth. Amen? Listen, however you look at it, that was a miracle. Whether the coin was in the water, somebody dropped it and Jesus knew and he commanded the fish and told the fish to go pick it up and bring it to Peter's hook. Amen? Or whether he just created the coin and put it in the fish's mouth. It's supernatural. That's a supernatural miracle of supply. How about when Peter loaned Jesus in Luke chapter 5? Get anything out of this today? What are we talking about? Miracles. Miracles with a capital M. Yes. Amen? Amen? Let me borrow your boat, Peter. I need to do some teaching. The people were crowding him up against the water, pushing him. There were so many people that wanted to get near him. They were pushing him into the water. So he borrowed Peter's boat, jumped into it, pushed out in the water a little bit, and then taught them for a period, like I'm teaching you. And then he said to Peter, "Now, get back in the boat, go out in the water in the middle of daylight, and drop your nets for a big catch." And Peter said, "Master, we've been out all night. You know the drill around here. Jesus, you fish at night, because during the day, the fish can see the net, they stay out of it." But he said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I'll go out." He said, "We toiled all night and got nothing." Seems like we toiled for a year and got nothing, doesn't it? But we obeyed him, didn't we? Miracles of supply require acts of obedience every time in the Bible. It seems like we've labored all through the night for nothing. But we are in the light now. We're about to see miracles over nature and miracles of supply. Amen. That man came through here, Reverend Jim Dykes from Wilmington, North Carolina. He said, "God's going to add to you people with real estate and people with money." Well, praise be to God. We don't want it so we can live ostentatious lifestyles. We want to reach the earth with the gospel. And it takes big bucks to preach a big gospel to a great big world. Amen? I don't want to. No, I'm not even going to say what I don't want to do, because every time I say what I don't want to do, I end up having to do it. So just cancel that. Don't even take it off the recording. Leave it on there. Maybe it'll help somebody. He went out there with his boat. He said, "Nevertheless, Master, at thy word, I'll let down the nets again." So Peter went out, threw down the nets, dropped the nets. And lo and behold, so many fish came into that net in broad daylight. In broad daylight. Fish in the Sea of Galilee do not go near nets in broad daylight. So many fish came into that net, he had to call, "Hey, help, somebody over here." They pulled another boat alongside, bunch of guys pulling on that. So many fish, it broke the net. They had to get another net, and by pulling it up and pulling it up, they filled both boats to overflowing with fish. In the middle of broad daylight, when that doesn't happen, Peter fell on his face and he said, "Lord, get out of my presence. Get out of my presence. I can't stand myself when I'm in the presence of the supernatural." That's what miracles do. They convict you of sin and they cause you to call him Lord. That's what Peter did. That's what happened when Ronald Coyne came to our church and held two services for us. He took that plastic eyeball out of his head, put it on my pulpit, we blocked his existing eye, and he read out that empty eye socket, something for everyone in that service brought something. People were screaming, "Ah!" People were crying and wailing and repenting before God, because they knew they were in the presence of the supernatural. It caused them to cry out in their sin. Supernatural things convict people of sin and cause them to cry out to the Lordship of Jesus. That's why we need miracles. That's why God said when we first came here, the first year faith, second year miracles. We've been building our faith for these things. And if you'll stay with me now, they'll happen. Stay with me in faith. I know you're going to stay with me in attendance. I'm not saying that just physically. I'm saying spiritually. Hook up. The Lord said to me, miracles. And this is not just something happening in the gathering at Cape Cod. This is a word and a spirit movement that is coming into fruition all over this earth right now. Happening all over this earth. But it took us a year. I had to come and pump it in you. I had to come and pump it in you. And I had to endure a lot in the process. Whining, bawling and squalling, false accusations, amen, humiliating questions time and time, I'm not just talking to you. You see the people who have come and gone. You have heard of just some of the things they've done to us. You don't know it all. We can't come in here and tell you everything. It'll strip faith right out of you. Our job is to put faith in you. But God, I want to tell them. I want them to understand. But we can't do that. Amen. We can't focus on that. Amen. We focus on faith. Amen. Listen, miracles of supply. Bible read this morning about the loaves and the fishes that fed the 4,000 men. If half of those men were married, that's 6,000 people. 4,000, if half of those, that's 6,000, 4 and 2 is 6. No? Oh, you did the 5,000. I'm talking... All right, in Matthew chapter 14, it's the feeding of the 4,000. That's what I'm talking about right now. I should have paid attention during the offering. In Matthew 15, it's the feeding of the 5,000. But in Matthew chapter 14, he fed 4,000 people with those little loaves and those fishes. But the boy had to give them up. And the disciples had to obey and break and distribute with Jesus. Miracles of supply always require acts of obedience in the Bible. If God's going to supply for us, we're going to just have to keep putting out, giving, giving, giving. That's what we do. Amen? And if I was going to say 4,000 people in Matthew chapter 4, with those little loaves and fishes, if half of those 4,000 men alone were married, that's 6,000 people. If half of the men and women who were married had children, that's 8,000. That's 8,000. The 7,000. That's 7,000 people. Amen. You do the math. Amen. Same thing happened over there in Matthew chapter 15. You know, in one of those events, he said to the disciples, he said, sit them down in groups of 50. Why? Because I said so. It required an act of obedience to sound like my mother. Why? Because I said so. And I knew, do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Because she was always one to slap you right on the jaw. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Miracles of supply always require acts of obedience. Amen. Hallelujah. We could just go through so many in the Bible. You guys have been setting yourselves up. Do you know? Oral Roberts University, you hear all the controversy surrounding that man and his ministry. The devil trying to destroy that ministry. He's in debt $70 million. Oral Roberts University in ministry in debt $70 million. One fool came along and offered him the $70 million, but he wanted to take control of the ministry. But then another wise man has just come along. You ever hear of Hobby Lobby? The man who owns Hobby Lobby came and gave Oral Roberts $70 million. He said, I'm sick of the controversy. Your debts are paid. That's the man who brought us the revelation of seed, time, and harvest. God's a good God. Plant the seed towards your need. Hobby Lobby, the owner just gave him $70 million. No string attached. I'm tired of the controversy surrounding your ministry. God told me to get you out of debt. That's supernatural. Hallelujah. Well, that's our Father. Get your eyes off Oral and onto Big Daddy. If I can say that respectfully. As we say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Because my daddy's the biggest thing in the valley. Don't mean to point at anybody. I'm just one finger at you, three fingers at me. Hallelujah. But miracles of supply always require acts of obedience if God's going to perform it for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's move on real quick to miracles of healings. These are the four subgroupings that all miracles can be placed under. We're almost out of time. I don't know how far we're going to get to go. I got some testimonies to give you today. Miracles of healing. That's when God performs the supernatural healing over a human body. Amen? Amen? But you don't qualify for these things. Holy hobos don't qualify for miracles of God. You know, that's why we're not seeing the supernatural on Cape Cod the way God wants to show us the supernatural on Cape Cod. But we're going to, because of our faithfulness and obedience. Most believers on Cape Cod, who consider themselves to be charismatics, are really cruismatics. They go to six or eight churches a year. They move from this meeting to that meeting. From this evangelist to that evangelist. From this special meeting to that. They're holy hobos. One man calls them church tramps. Calls them church tramps. Amen. Well, that's what they are. They're holy hobos. Amen. They're divine drifters. They're divine defectors. They're here one week and there next week. That's no way to get healed. That's no way to experience the type of miracles that God's going to pour out in our midst. Amy Semple McPherson. There's so many things I want to tell you today. Like the time I was praying for a service in Las Vegas, Nevada. When I was attending that church and Bible school, Holy Spirit, help me. Which way? I'm going to have to finish this next week. But that's okay. The Lord told me, you stay home. Don't go to the service with the evangelist. You stay home and pray. I want to show you some things. I said, okay. So I told the pastor, I was real involved in the church and the Bible school. I told the pastor, he said, no, 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 no. He was adamant. Don't stay home. You need to be here for an impartation when the evangelist. I said, no, the Lord told me stay home and pray. I'd like to be there, but I choose obedience over what I'd like to do. Well, the Lord said, stay home, pray for the service. So I did while the service was going on. Wanted to show me some things. So I get down on my face and I prayed during the whole service. Just prayed in tongues, interceding for the service, praying some scripture. I had a vision while I was praying. We're talking about miracles of healing, miracles concerning human bodies. Amen? I had a vision. I don't know if I was caught up in a trance or if I just stayed right where I was. I don't know what kind of a vision it was. All I know is I was in total blackness and I saw a man's face before me. In one of his eyes had a silver lining over the actual eyeball. It was covered with like a silver film, and I knew he was blind in that eye. And I just kept praying in the Spirit, looking in his face and looking at that silver eye. His eye was silver. His eyeball was silver colored. And I just kept looking at it, and it began to dissolve from a silver eye into a pupil and into an iris, and it turned into an eyeball. And he was gone. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. We'll see about that. The service ended that night. I got a telephone call. Brother John! Brother John, you won't believe it! Try me. I'm a believer. A guy came to the service and he was blind in his right eye. There was a silver film over it. And when Brother Joe Walsh, the evangelist, he was blind in it all of his life. And when Brother Walsh prayed for him, it turned into an eye and he began to see running all around the room. And everybody started following him, rejoicing God. I said, I saw it in the Spirit. I saw it in the Spirit. I prayed it out in the Spirit. That's supernatural. That's supernatural. That's what God wants to do for us in the next year. Are you getting anything out of this here today? Oh my Lord, hallelujah. There's Ronald Coyne. We could go into him again, but we won't. But let me tell you this before we close. Amy Semple McPherson. We didn't get to cover them all. We didn't get to talk about miracles over demons' powers. We're going to have to talk about it next week, I guess. Amen? Amy Semple McPherson. Everybody know who Amy Semple McPherson was? She was a female, of course. Amy, she, female. Evangelist. In the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s in America, she built the Angelus Temple in Los Angeles, California, still there, seats 5,500 people. That was a phenomenal thing. She started out as an evangelist as a teenager with signs, wonders, and miracles following her ministry. She's from right over here in Providence, Rhode Island. She raised a family over here in Providence, Rhode Island. One day, she was out ministering. She used to travel with her husband and preach the gospel. I'll close with this. You will like this. Amen? And then I'm going to lay my hands on you. Amen? Are you with me today? This is our anniversary service. We get time for me to do this. We're talking about miracles. We're going to be talking about miracles more. When we come together, I'm going to have to talk to you next week about miracles over demon powers because it's in my heart to share with you. It's in my heart to share with you miracles over nature. Miracles of supernatural provision and prosperity, miracles over the human body, and miracles over demon powers. We'll get to demon powers next week. Amy Semple McPherson, someone approached her in one of her husband's meetings and said, will you take the morning service? Her husband was preaching to hundreds of people at night. She was approached, will you take the morning service? There's only about 50 people showed up for it. She's in the middle of preaching the gospel. And she said, God wants to do a creative miracle for somebody in this room. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Amy Semple McPherson is the founder of the Four Square Church, of whom Jack Hayford is presently the president. It's a reputable organization. She's been accused of many things, like all ministers who operate in the supernatural are falsely accused of immoral things. It happens all the time. The devil tries to discredit you, so nobody will listen to you, and they won't believe the miracles, and God won't be glorified. Hell can't be plundered and heaven can't be populated. If you were the devil, isn't that what you'd do? Somebody, God wants to do a creative miracle for somebody in this room. Nobody came. She sat down on the stairs and she said, then we'll just wait. Because we're not going beyond it. I heard God say he wants to do a creative miracle for somebody in this room. Sat on the stairs for 10 minutes and just said, just worship God. Just worship God. They all just worship God. Worship God. Worship God. She called it forth again. God wants to do a creative miracle for somebody in this room. Nobody responded. Well, let's just worship God. 20 minutes later, God wants to do a creative miracle for somebody in this room. Nobody came. And she wasn't going to, most ministers would have just, I guess I missed it. I must be wrong. Or maybe I didn't miss it, but the person's just not going to come. Maybe they'll come to me after people do that. 30 minutes later, a person came down the aisle, you help me if I get this right, with a baby wrapped in a blanket. And handed the baby to Amy Semple McPherson. She pulled the blanket back and she looked. And it was a torso with no arms, no legs, couldn't tell what sex it was, no eyeballs, and a little holes for the nose. And she said, let's worship God. They all just began to worship God. Worship God. Worship God with me. Worship God with me. This is what God was talking about. He's wanting to do a creative miracle. As she held the baby in her arms, little swirls appeared over each of the... There was no eyelids, no slit, no nothing there. Nothing there. Little sort of a bump there. She said she watched little swirls appear over each eye. And then the swirls dissolved and turned into an eye on each side. And as she held the baby, little arms grew out while she's holding the baby. Little legs grew out while she's holding the baby. And she looked again, it was a boy. That's a creative miracle, documented creative miracle of God. It's a small thing for God to open your eye, Sandy. It's a small thing, not a light thing, but a small thing for the God of miracles. You getting anything out of this today? God wants to do these kind of miracles for us today. 3 days. 3 days. Nearly three full days. I was slain in the spirit. I didn't dream. I didn't change positions. I do not believe I was breathing. I woke up 3 days later and I was supernaturally delivered from drug and alcohol addiction. I was a supernaturally changed human being. I am a miracle. I am a miracle. Let's stand up and worship God. Hallelujah. Father, we're believing you for a year of miracles. In the name of Jesus, there's so much more that needed to be said here today, Father. But I'm going to say this as we worship you, Father. If you need a loaf of bread and you have a $5 bill in your pocket, you're going to have to give up the bill for the bread. Is that right? You're not going to go in the grocery store and put that piece, that loaf of bread in front of the cashier and she's going to let you walk out without giving up the $5 bill. Amen? You got a $5 bill. You need a loaf of bread. You're going to have to give up the bill. Amen? Listen, you have faith. I know. I played a big part putting it in you for a year. You have faith. And if you want to see miracles, you're going to have to give it up. You're going to have to release your faith and not just count on my faith. Just like you're going to have to pony up the $5 bill for the loaf of bread, you're going to have to pony up your faith for miracles. Pony up. It's a card playing term. I don't play cards anymore since I got saved. Amen? Don't gamble. Amen? You're going to have to use your faith, Maurice. Barbara. You're going to have to use your faith, John. You're going to have to use your faith, Helen. Sandy, Jane, Barbara. We're going to have to use our faith. Lift your hands and worship God. You're going to have to expect with me. If you will expect, we will see supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles. We're only going to have what we reach for. And God said, reach for miracles this year. Last year he said, faith. Pop them full of faith. I didn't ask him why. I just obeyed him. But he told me why this week. This is a year of miracles. Now we're going to use the faith that he infused into us. We're only going to have what we reach for. Paul said, covet earnestly the best gifts. Zechariah said, ask ye of the Lord rain. And the times of the latter rain. Those are the days we live in. God, you said miracles, and I know you have a plan. I know you have a purpose, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, in the name of Jesus, these people in this room, they need the miraculous God. They need and they desire the miraculous God. We need supernatural testimonies around here, Father. You need supernatural testimonies, Father. And we ask you this year, God, we're hooking up right now by faith for a brand new year, God. The past is the past. The past is the past, and we thank you for it, God. Even in the midst of the hardship and the persecution, we thank you for what you gave us this past year, God. But it's the past, Father. And we're not going to rest on those laurels, God. We're going to stretch forward and reach forward to that which lies ahead, Father. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus and signs, wonders, and miracles to glorify you, to confirm the Lordship of your Son, Jesus, to meet the needs of your people and this church, Father. In the name of Jesus, we tap into your power now with our faith. And say this with me, say, yea, Lord.
I believe.
Yea, Lord.
I believe.
Glory, glory, glory. Father, in Jesus' name, not only do we ask you for miracles now, we ask you to send other people who need miracles performed in their lives, God. Those 210 people, send them to us, Father. We'll teach them faith, God, and we'll demonstrate faith for them, God, in the name of Jesus. Glorify yourself. Worship God. Worship God. Hallelujah. Worship God. Hallelujah. Worship God. Let me just touch you for an impartation. Whatever it is God has for you to stir you up. Impartation. Impartation. Believe. Believe. All things are possible if only you will believe. Hallelujah.